Matthew's Gospel, chapter 22. I could title this message Advent Personalized, but I didn't. The title of the message is What Do You Think? What do you think? I'm borrowing Jesus' words from a question in Matthew 22, verses 41 through 46. Read with me, Matthew 22, verses 41 through 46. While the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, saying, What think ye of Christ? Paraphrase, what do you think of the Christ, about the Christ? What think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? They say unto him, the son of David. He saith unto them, How then does David in the Spirit, or by the Holy Spirit, call him, that is, the Christ, Messiah? How then does David, by the Holy Spirit, call him Lord? Saying, and then he quotes from where? Notice, Psalm 110. The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou on my right hand, until I make thine enemies thy footstool. So Jesus transitions in the logic now. So if David then calls him Messiah, Christ, if David calls Messiah Lord, how is he his son? I would have liked to have seen their faces. Maybe their eyes got big, maybe they... But notice verse 46. And no man was able to answer him a word. Neither did any man from that day forth ask him any more questions. What do you think? You ever heard this phrase, turnabout's fair play? Or any of you children ever, when you're playing with a group, and you've ever had to say, it's my turn. Or parents or teachers say to children, everyone should have a turn. Consider others. Well, it's Jesus' turn now to ask the questions. The religious leaders were always asking him questions, right? Why? To get him, to trick him, to tempt him, to make him mess up, to embarrass him. Rabbi, is it right to pay taxes to Caesar or not? Rabbi, what if a woman whose husband died and all of his brothers took her as wife, which was culturally right and required by law, all of them take her as a wife and they all die, and then she dies, whose wife will she be in the resurrection? Rabbi, what's the greatest commandment of all? Tell us if you can. They're always asking Jesus trick questions. Somebody ever asked you a question and you think, you pause and then you say, is this a trick question? Yeah. Sometimes Jesus answered this way, Pharisees, by what authority do you do these things? By what authority are you doing what you're doing? Remember what he said? I'll answer your question if you answer mine. The baptism of John the Baptist, was it from God or was it just from man? They look at each other. They probably huddle. And then their answer is, well, we can't tell you. What did Jesus say? Then neither can I tell you by what authority I do these things. Is it right to pay taxes to Caesar? Peter, hand me a quarter. Whose image picture is on this? Caesar. Then render to Caesar what's Caesar's and render to God what's his. Their mouths are shut again. So now, but here in Matthew 22, these verses, it's Jesus' turn to initiate the question. And he asked them two questions. Verse 42, notice, everything we're going to cover is right in the text, so stay in the Bible here. Two questions, verse 42. What do you think of the Christ? Whose son is he? Second question, verse 45. If David calls him Lord, then how can he be David's son? Two questions. He initiates with them. The first primary question, what do you think of the Christ? He looks right at them, and he engages them with the question, what do you think of the Christ? Now, think about this. What question is more important or more significant than that? What question is more essential, personal, and crucial? It's the only question that's eternal, has any eternal significance. It's the only one. It's the only question that someone's eternal destiny depends on. Other questions are secondary and insignificant and often not even important. Personal reference questions. Personal preference questions. I like chicken spaghetti. Mr. Neely does not like it. That's a personal preference. Do you like it? Political questions, international questions, education questions, cultural, social questions, even family questions. No question is in the same category as this one. What do you think of the Christ? Sister Ray, what do you think of him? Amen. Right answer. He's my Savior. Jesus says to the Pharisees concerning himself, what do you think of the Christ? Hey, boys, step up to the plate. You're great at answering questions, so you answer one now. This question stands alone. Here our Lord unfolds a brilliant, profound revelation of more of who he truly is and why it's supremely important and personal. We're going to notice four truths in this passage set forth. Four realities, four things that are going on here. Number one, his question, the perfect question. Number two, their answer. Number three, his reply. And fourthly, their response. So first of all, the perfect personal question, verse 42. What do you think of the Christ? Now, remember, think back a few chapters earlier in Matthew 16, Jesus asked a similar question, didn't he, to the disciples? Who are people saying that the Son of Man is? And they answer. And then Jesus says, notice, he doesn't say Son of Man this time. He says, but who do you say that I am? Same question here. Who do you say that I am? What do you think about the Messiah? Now think of the Jewish mindset, the Old Testament, the Orthodox Jews, then and today, the Orthodox Jews viewed the Old Testament in terms of coming Messiah, promise yet unfulfilled, the Old Testament identity of designations for origin of the Messiah, his future coming, their hopes and expectations are futuristic. Orthodox Judaism, they're waiting somehow believing their Jewish Messiah is coming. You can go to the Jewish section of New York City and all you'll see is Orthodox Jews going and coming. I was in Jerusalem in 1976, and we were down as Friday afternoon, Shabbat, they call it, begins in the old city, and you'd see the Orthodox Jews hurrying to get to their houses because they can't violate the Sabbath by travel. So every Jew had views and expectations and thoughts. So this is a unique question to these Pharisees. They have Messiah. They're schooled in Messiah. Messianic prophecies, perspective. This is a unique moment here in this moment because this troublemaking, radical, itinerant miracle worker and teacher comes directly and personally right to the issue. What do you think of the Messiah? Pretty striking. It doesn't deal with all the 613 rabbinical traditions and laws, no. What do you think of Messiah? Who is he really? The heart of the question is, who is he really? And whose son is he? That's part two of the question. Notice it's not a yes or no question. I don't like asking yes or no questions. I like asking questions that people have to think and give an answer. So the question here is, do you believe in the Messiah? What do you think of him? Now, you can't avoid the question. They couldn't and we can't. You can disregard it. You can be indifferent to it by willfully hardening yourself to it. You can outright reject it. You can choose to believe a lie about it, but you cannot be neutral and you cannot be passive. What do you think of the Christ? And when you hear that question and you know it's for you, you render an answer in your mind. You answer it. What do you think of Christ? The right and perfect question primarily is not a secondary issue. What do you truly think about Messiah? Now, Advent, we're in that time of the year where it's less offensive to say the name of Christ or Jesus Christ or Jesus because people who are irreligious or non-religious or pagan, they might have a manger scene in their living room. Baby Jesus is in the manger. Ooh, ah. And so, in a way, it can be easier this time of year for the idea to be floating around. But in the history of all other religions, of all religions in history, they never get the issue of who Christ is correctly. Never. What do Mormons believe? What do Jehovah's Witnesses believe? Well, he's a created God. He was the half-brother of Lucifer before Lucifer fell. He's the highest creation of Jehovah. Hindus and Muslims and Confucianists, all other religions. He was a representative of the divine being. He was a manifestation of God, certainly a great teacher and a miracle worker. While they don't believe any of his teaching or they don't believe in his miracles, but that's beside the point. So this identity of the Messiah, what say you, all people in history? What say you, all presidents in the U.S. history? Because you know what? Every one of them have faced or will face the question, even if it's standing alone at the future judgment seat of Christ, what say you? What do you think about Jesus Christ? It is the perfect supreme question, and the Lord nails it with them. You know, that's a good approach in evangelism. Because a person's answer is going to tell you where they are somewhat. I was in a restaurant waiting on a breakfast appointment with somebody, and there was a very courteous young man, college student, and I brought up the subject. And I said, in the conversation, I said, so do you know anything about Jesus Christ and the message of Christ? It didn't seem like he was lying. And he said, I've never heard any of this. Now, he might have been from who knows where. Here's a college student. He was an American. But the point is, all around us there are people that are absolutely, utterly, totally pagan in any knowledge of the true Jesus. So this is a great question to use in evangelism. What do you think about Jesus Christ? Well, notice then, secondly, their answer, verse 42. Four words, the son of David. Is that wrong? Nick, is that a wrong answer? No. No. It's not a wrong answer. Think about Matthew's genealogy and Luke's genealogy. To sum it up, Matthew 1, Jesse begat David, David Solomon, right down to the bottom. And Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is the Christ, right? Genealogy trace. David is in the middle of that, the son of David. See? Yes, he's the son of David. Luke does the same thing in reverse order. Luke says it, but differently. He starts out, Jesus being from Joseph, implying Joseph's house. Mary's not mentioned. Traces it right through to David, and then all the way back, and it says at the end, the son of Seth, which was the son of Adam, which was the son of God. So yes, he's the son of David. Matthew affirms, Luke affirms. There's no genealogy in Mark or John, right? So here's the deal. Their answer, the son of David, is right, isn't it? But it's what also? Inadequate. It's insufficient. It's not a saving answer. It's not truly the full right answer. It stops short. It's not enough. Great teacher, yes. Healer, yes. He's a revelation of God? Well, yes, but that's inadequate because he's the only revelation of God, right? So the Pharisees had a right, partial, but inadequate answer. Why is this so important? Because this morning, some of you are right there. You're right there. Young people, some of you, you've believed all your life Jesus is real. He's God. He came from God. He died on the cross. You know your parents believe. You know that they love Christ, but you don't. What do you think this morning of Jesus yourself? That's the question. It's one thing for a Christian to ask someone, what do you think of Christ? It's another thing for a pastor or preacher to say in a sermon, what do you think of Christ? But it's altogether another thing for God the Holy Spirit, for Christ himself to say to your heart and your conscience, what do you think about me? And that's what you're confronted with this morning. God is saying to you this morning, what do you think of the Messiah? What do you really think? Beyond all the surface holiday stuff, what do you think of him? That's the issue here. Their answer was correct, but lacking. Now, you know, this time of the year, some of you know my feelings. But this time of the year, about the Lord Jesus Christ, it becomes a mixture, right? We easily go from have a holly jolly Christmas to joy to the world. And we almost can sing both of them with the same amount of feeling and joy. Or I'm dreaming of white Christmas right into O Come All Ye Faithful. Or jingle bells to O Little Town of Bethlehem or whatever. You know what I'm saying. And these hymns can lose their specialness because it gets mixed up with lesser views of him. Feliz Navidad. Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Tell me if I'm right or am I wrong. Am I just being a Scrooge? No, I'm not. Don't have a mixture, brethren. Don't have a mixture. Have a right, separate, high and holy view of the Christ. You may have a lesser, weaker view and don't know it. Or you may have a lesser view and you do know it. An inadequate view is wrong. It's error and it's heresy. Coming short, you have a false Christ. Paul spoke to the Corinthians about another gospel and another Jesus and another spirit. A wrong view causes people to perish eternally. So what do you truly think of Christ, the Messiah? Stop avoiding it if you've been avoiding it. Stop putting it off if you've been putting it off. What do you think of Christ? Well, he's the son of David. Yes, but he's a lot more than that. Whose son is he? Most people around us have a wrong and insufficient view of him. A devout Mormon that's sincere has a very respectful, sincere honoring about the name of Jesus Christ. And they don't have a clue who he truly is. So, an inadequate answer. Thirdly, we see in verses 43, 45, this. We see Christ's exposure of their insufficiency, their inadequate answer. Christ exposes it. Verses 43 through 45. Notice his logic and his application. He says, okay, if that's your answer, he's the son of David, then have you ever thought of this? You know Psalm 110? By the way, I wrote it, but I won't mention that. But Psalm 110, remember what it says? It says, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand, till I make thine enemies thy footstool. So if David calls Messiah Lord, how is he David's son? Does that make sense? Can that be? The Lord Jesus is unfolding a deeper meaning to him. What's he doing here? They see a half Messiah, son of David. Jesus quotes from Psalm 110 about himself, the most often quoted psalm in the New Testament. I think 27 times maybe it's quoted. So see Jesus' argument. The Pharisees before him are blind to it, perhaps never thought of it or faced it before. How can Messiah only be David's son if David calls him Lord? Meaning, David is saying, Messiah is not only son of David, Messiah is saying, he's my Lord, therefore he's my God. You see what they're missing? This one who is the son of David is David's Lord. And by this single stroke of perfect Old Testament meaning, Jesus reveals right before their eyes and their minds Messiah's identity and nature. Yes, he's man, but he's more. He's God. He's the Lord. He's the one David worshiped. Is he the one you worship? Christ here is taking them to the personal level to make them face who he really is. To see him not insufficiently, but more sufficiently. Fully man and fully God. So he exposes their insufficiency. Fourthly, notice this in verse 46. No man was able to answer him a word, and neither did any man from that day forth ask him anything else. Here's the final word. And the final word is there is no final word. no more words. Or to use a more rugged phrase, Jesus shuts their mouth. They couldn't say anything. They had nothing to say. They were either awestruck at this revelation of his exposition of Psalm 110. They perhaps had never thought about it before. They had no answer. They couldn't answer him at all. Like Romans 3:19, remember what it says? That every mouth may be stopped and all the world become guilty before God. Their mouth was stopped and suddenly they were gripped with, do we not view this right? So listen to this. No one can ever be saved without having a shut mouth. Self-righteousness, just be silent and be guilty. Don't spout, don't mouth any self-righteousness. Because you won't win the argument with the Christ. Excuses, don't make any. Self-improvement, anyone should silence their arguments to present something before God to influence him or impress him that they're savable and they're okay. Every sinner, these Pharisees became quiet in order that maybe some of them became wise, because you know some of them were converted later. So every sinner should be quiet before Christ when he asks you the question, what do you think of Christ? Be quiet and become wise in that moment. The one who argues with Jesus goes to hell. Jesus shuts their mouth. You know, the only mouth he doesn't shut, the only words he accepts is, you're Lord. I'm yours. I surrender. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. You're the Son of David and you're the Son of God. You're the Savior of the world. There's a song that says this. Some see a teacher standing on a hill. Some see a healer giving sight to a blind man. Some see a dreamer wasting his life. Some see a fool dying for his dream. But I see love. I see grace. I see the light of heaven breaking through. What do you think of him? How do you see him? Some see a prisoner alone before his judge. Some see a victim beaten and abused. Some see a martyr carrying his cross. Some see a hero who set his people free. But I see love. The light of heaven breaking through. I see grace. I see God's face, Lord, when I see you. What do you think this morning? What do you see in the Messiah? What do you think of him truly? Can you truly say this morning, when I think of the Christ, I see Jehovah. I see the incarnate God. I see the light of the world. I see the angel of the covenant. I see the Redeemer, the Lamb slain, the Savior of the world, the great I am, the King of kings and Lord of lords, the judge of all the earth, and the Savior and lover of sinners. I see the one I need and I want. I see the one I'm trusting. What do you think? Every young boy, listen to me this morning right now. Every young girl, every young man, every young lady, every adult, what do you think yourself of Jesus Christ? I don't want to know what your father or your mother or your brothers and sisters think. Jesus is saying to you this morning, what do you think about me? And what are you going to do about it? I'm standing before you. I've been crucified. I died. I rose again. I'm here by my Spirit. And I'm speaking through the Word to your heart, to your conscience. And the Lord Jesus says to you, what do you think of me? Where are you? He's saying, where are you truly concerning me? John Newton has a hymn that says it wonderfully. Here's the lyrics. What think you of Christ? This the test to try your state and your life. You cannot be right in the rest and all else unless you think rightly of him. Some take him a creature to be, a man or an angel at most. Yet they know not themselves, wicked and lost. We dare not trust in his blood unless we are sure he is God. If asked what of Jesus I think, my best thoughts are only still poor. I say he is my meat and my drink. He is my life and my strength. He is my shepherd, husband, and friend. He's my Savior from sin and from death. He is my hope from beginning to end, my portion, my Lord, and my all. So says John Newton. That's what Newton thought of Christ. But it doesn't matter what he thinks of him now. What matters is, what do you think of him? I would love somewhere, sometime, to be preaching and be telling people, will you come to Christ? Do you want him? I'd love for somebody to jump up and interrupt the sermon and says, yes, I want him. I believe in him. Go ahead if you have the courage. Beloved, the Lord Jesus Christ right here, this is Advent personalized. To Peter, whom do people say the Son of Man is? Well, here's the polling numbers as of last night. This. Okay, guys, who do you say I am? With the Pharisees, same thing. Any of you this morning that aren't true Christians, today that could change. You go to God in prayer. You go to Jesus Christ in prayer and you tell him what you think about him and you tell him you want him. One of the most fearful things to me to ever think about is people who've heard the gospel all their life, the true gospel, and they put it off, they delay, they're not ready, they refuse, they're neutral. There is no neutrality with Jesus Christ. They're neutral. And then they die, and they know it's too late. And they had 1,000 opportunities to turn to him. What do you think of Jesus Christ? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the words of our Savior. Lord, we say this morning that you are the Son of David. But we say much more, you are the Son of God, eternally God the Son, the Redeemer, the Savior of the world, the lover of sinners, the only forgiver of sins, the only revelation of God to man, the only name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Thank you for more of us seeing and hearing the reality of the Lord Jesus Christ, who says concerning his coming, what do you think of me? Bless your word, we ask. In the name of our Savior, amen.